I want to encourage you that his faithfulness, our commitment. Philippians 1 verse 6. Let's look into the word of God. Philippians 1 verse 6. Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's a powerful, powerful word. Last year, I marked my 40th year of serving the Lord since I went full-time ministry June 1976. So as I was taking time to reflect on the faithfulness of God, I gathered some of my thoughts and I put it into, just a word of encouragement that I hope this morning it will encourage you that God is ever, ever faithful. No matter what your journey may be, no matter what my journey may be. Paul was so confident of God's faithfulness. He says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now imagine Paul says, I'm not too sure the Lord who began a good work in you, maybe he might not complete it for you. That would be terrible if Paul wrote that. I can't imagine if Paul wrote, I'm confident of this, he who began a good work in you, well, he's faithful, but along the way, halfway, he might just leave you to fend for yourself. Thank God, Paul didn't say that. He says, he who began a good work in you, he will bring it to completion until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Most importantly, God is faithful. The Lord who calls you and me is faithful. I remember I quit my job in 1976. I was working in Singapore in ship repairing with great fear and trembling. Should I resign? Should I not resign? What if I resign? Will I have enough? Oh, dear Lord, please help me. I struggle and struggle. I said, I'll take a step off. I'll quit. I'll just follow the Lord and serve him. Thanks be to God. Decade in, decade out, 40 years have come and gone. And all I can say is, he who calls me is faithful. Likewise, he who calls you is faithful to you too. You know, in those years, messages on counting the cost, you know, count the cost, take up the cross and follow Jesus. The more I hear, the more terrified I am, you know. What if I count the cost and follow him? Halfway, I backslide. What if I quit my job? I become a pastor and halfway I say, I'll give up. And this is a tough life. I want to go back to the secular world and make more money and forget about this ministry kind of life. What if I do something stupid and bring shame to the name of Jesus? I say, oh dear Lord, it's terrifying. Really? Those were my fears. Those were my apprehensions. But thanks be to God. Now I look back and I say, God is faithful. Hallelujah. Now, firstly, he who promised, you know, Paul says he's faithful. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9 says, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. Not was faithful. He says, the Lord who called you into fellowship with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is faithful. Ever present tense. Is faithful to you and to me. We must have faith in him. When you feel as though you cannot go on anymore, he is still faithful. When you feel you've tried every plan that you have, nothing still works, nothing can work out, just remember, he is still faithful. You come to the end of all your resources, and says, oh dear Lord, I don't have enough money to survive. Just remember, he is faithful. He will remain faithful through the good times and the bad times. He will remain faithful through the happy times and the sad times. He will remain faithful in the easy times as well as the tough times. He will remain faithful when you are strong and or when you are weak. He is ever, ever faithful. You know, in the church I attend in Footscray with Pastor Michael Sim, in our church there's a heart specialist, and over the years she was taking her heart specialization exam. You know, it's a terrible, tough journey. I think about 5 levels they have to pass. So each time, you know, she has to take the exam, she says, come to the church, pastor, church, please pray for me that I pass the exam. You know, when people ask you to pray, it's exciting to pray, but you're not sure whether they studied or not. You know, some people, they don't study, but they ask you to pray, you know, that they will pass. That takes a lot of faith, you know. So this sister, I believe she studied hard. So, wow, first exam, we pray, oh, Jesus, give her favor, give her wisdom. And yeah, then she take the exam, she will pass. Hallelujah. She took the exam, came back, said, praise the Lord, level one, I passed. Then a few months later, come level two, please pray for me that I'll pass. You know, we prayed and prayed and prayed, oh, God bless her, she will pass. And then came the result, she announced to us, I failed the exam. I said, oh, dear Lord. You know, that kind of a situation, you know. Should we continue to pray? Is God faithful when we ask Him to bless? How come she failed? You know, then we have to encourage her. Never mind. Just study. We'll pray for you the second round. So came the second round. She studied. We prayed. Level two. Cut the long story short. She finished, I think, all four, five levels. And then she became a certified heart specialist. Hallelujah. Now, getting your degree is one thing. Getting a placement is the next thing. That's the next thing. She desired to work in Melbourne. You know, she applied for heart as a specialist in different hospitals. Adelaide says, come, the door is open. She says, we just bought the house in Melbourne. We don't want to uproot and move. She says, pastor, pray that I'll get a placement in Melbourne. Okay. We pray. The Lord is faithful. We declare that, but in deep down in our hearts, we're a little bit scared. You know, what if she don't get the placement? She wanted Royal Melbourne. I'm not sure how many, I can't remember, maybe 20, 30, 40 heart specialists who have got the same certification wanted the two places. She says, pray that God will open the door. Okay, all right. We'll pray. God is faithful. Hallelujah. We pray that the Lord will open the door. Oh, Jesus, open the door for her to remain in Melbourne so that she don't uproot and go to Adelaide or Tasmania, another open door. You know, she don't want to move. She just bought the house. Her family is here. She's gotten to know the church. The church got to know her. Oh, God, open the door for her in Royal Melbourne. And then came the results. Hallelujah. She says, praise the Lord, Royal Melbourne accepted me. I'm one of the two that have entered Royal Melbourne to be the heart specialist there. I was so happy for her. I said, sister, praise the Lord. Hope I don't see you in Royal Melbourne. I told her, I hope I don't meet you at Royal Melbourne. If at all, I'll meet you at Victoria Market, you know. Praise God. If I have to see her at Royal Melbourne, it's bad shit, bad news, okay? This is just one testimony of God's faithfulness. Studied, prayed, passed, studied, prayed, failed, studied, prayed, open door. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, God is faithful. Hallelujah. I think next thing, secondly, not only is He faithful, He has promised to give us the grace. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul has been beaten. Paul has been persecuted. He says, I've been through tough times. At times, you know, I've been through hunger and so forth. There are times I just feel like dying. There are times I just feel like I just want to go with Jesus. I can't even choose between the two, to remain here to be with you because I love you, or just to go to be with Jesus. There are times he says, I really just can't go on anymore. But the Lord appeared unto him and said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. My grace is made perfect. Hallelujah. In times of your weakness. Hallelujah. I have a friend, pastor friend in Singapore. He's been serving the Lord 40 years, very faithful, former drug pusher, former heroin addict, transformed and served the Lord for many, many years. Through him, many drug addicts were set free. And in recent years, one trial after another. You know, sometimes trouble don't come. But once they come, three, four come. You know, one after another, it's like a wave. You know, boom, boom. At first, he told me he had colon cancer. He said, please pray. We prayed for him. And the Lord bless him. Heal him of colon cancer. Hallelujah. He was so happy. You know, praise God. A few years later, another attack. Liver cancer. By the time the cancer count was over 1,000. How many of you are in the medical realm? You know, if over 1,000 is not good news, it's really bad news. Yeah, so pray. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I tell you, a miracle happened. 1,000 count went down to 500, 400, 300, 100, and less than 100. Today, he's still serving the Lord. Hallelujah. God's grace is sufficient. He says, sometimes I just don't know whether to wake up or not to wake up, to serve the Lord or not to serve the Lord. It's so, so painful. I'm so weak. But he says, I experience the grace of God. That's the goodness of God. He has promised to give us ever sufficient grace. Even myself in the ministry, you know, sometimes I just feel so weak, you know. Sometimes I'm invited to preach in the church. The chairperson will be introducing me. We're so happy to have Pastor Lau this morning. He's a good speaker. He's been all over the place. He's so experienced. I tell you, when he preaches, you'll be energized. You'll be comforted. He's introducing me. I'm sitting there. Dear Lord, I don't really even want to stand up. You know, who is he talking about? You know? Really? They were asking me to come to the front. I was sitting there. I said, God, I don't want to preach today. I just argued with my wife on the way to church over some minute thing, you know. I have no feeling to preach. And here they are. We're so happy to have Pastor Love. I said, okay, all right, praise God. Holy Ghost, you better energize me. Give me the unction and anointing that I need. I tell you, in those times, I don't feel like preaching. I stand up and preach. I tell you with all my heart. And people were so touched, they come up. Some of them in those times come up, says, the Lord touched me. You have encouraged me. I wanted to say, you should know my feelings 1 hour ago. I don't even want to speak. But I'm glad to hear that you are encouraged. Praise God. This is the reality in our Christian life. There are times we don't even feel like doing what we are supposed to do. We feel so weak. But then His grace is ever sufficient for us. When we are weak, He makes us strong. Praise God. Thirdly, He has promised to be faithful to supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Most of us would have, you know, memorized this scripture from day one when we become a young Christian. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. His covenant name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my supplier. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we better know the context, you know, before we start, you know, throwing out scripture. The context, Paul is talking about the Philippians church, all right? They are so poor. Yet, they are so generous. He says, you know, when there was a need, all right, you guys helped me out. In that context, because the Philippians have been sowing, in that context, then he said, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, if you have not sown any seed, please don't fire up heaven and say, oh dear Lord, you promised to supply all my needs according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Amen. Before you say amen, ask yourself, have you been sowing any seed? If you have not been sowing any seed, you have no right to claim this scripture and say amen. Amen. I've served the Lord more than 40 years. Before that, I'm wondering, will I have enough? I look at all these poor pastors, the way they suffer. I say, dear Lord, if I go into ministry, will that be my lot in life? You know, look at these miserable pastors, you know. I mean, you look at the salary. I mean, for the same qualification, they can earn double, triple out in the business world. And yet, they choose to go in this line. I say, if I do that, will I have enough? If I get married, will my wife have enough? If I have children, will my children have enough? Those were my questions. But today I can tell you, God is faithful. We have more than enough to eat, more than enough to wear, more than enough for whatever our needs may be. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and on, give us this day our daily bread. God is so good. He not only gives daily bread, sometimes He gives monthly bread, half yearly bread. At least in my case. Sometimes I would go and preach in the church. And after preaching, hello, how are you? Tea break and so forth. Hey, Pastor, you know, we know this baker. There's one whole bag of bread. They want to throw it away. They bake in the morning, but you know the rule is they want fresh bread. So they want to throw it. Do you want this bread? One whole bag. I said, okay, all right. Thank you. I take it home. Who eats bread in my whole household? Four of us. I'm the only one eating bread, all right? My wife and two girls don't like to eat bread. I tell you, that bag of bread lasted me months. I cut it up. I put it in the freezer. Took me months to finish. Another situation. My daughter was walking along Russell Street, was it? I don't know. One of the shopping centers. And a baker, I mean, she don't know them. Them don't know her. She says, "Hey, we have this morning's bread. We want to, you know, give it away. Do you want it?" She said, "Okay." She took it home. She said, "That this whole bag of bread here. Do you want?" I said, "Okay." Another 6 months supply. God is good. Give us this day our daily bread. Not only daily bread, half yearly bread, monthly bread, yearly bread. Would I tell you, would you believe me? I've never bought myself a pair of new shoes for 30 over years. Do you believe that? You don't believe, never mind. That's okay. I'll convince you. Let me just take a sip of water. I'll convince you that God is faithful. Because that's the way the Lord has dealt with me. Because I started off wondering, is he ever going to be faithful if I follow him? He has proven himself time and again. I used to base in Singapore for many years. I stayed there 15 to 17 years. So in our church and fellowship, I mentored one brother and I helped him out. And he's doing well in business. And time again, he sees me. Hey, Pastor, I just bought this pair of new shoes and I got it from Paris. You know, it's about $700. Do you want it? Dear Lord, $60, I don't even want to buy. $700, I'm going to walk as though I'm walking on eggshells. Coincidentally, his size of his feet exactly is mine, same size. I don't know, it's so expensive. You bought it from France, you wear it. I don't need it. He said, no, you have it. I've been wearing shoes that's worth $600. Don't play a fool with me. Don't step on my shoes or don't step on my toes. Now, currently, this pair I'm wearing is given by him. This one is made in China. All over the world I've gone to preach, they followed me, you know. Blessed are these shoes that, that followed me all these places. I'm telling you the truth. It's just like the children of Israel in the wilderness. The Bible says their clothes did not wear out. Their shoes, I'm not sure whether they talk about shoes or not, but their clothing, sandals, did not wear out for 40 years. I've not purchased any shoes for 30 over years. Every now and then he says, "Hey, I got this pair. I just bought it. I don't feel like wearing it." He only wore once or twice. Very expensive leather shoes. I said, "Okay, if you don't want it, I'll take it." All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God is faithful. Fourthly, he has promised to be faithful even when we, his children, are unfaithful. That's the goodness of God. Case in point. Samson, the Lord blessed him, the Lord called him, the Lord anointed him, but because of his carnal desires, he has brought him to his downfall, his lust of the flesh. Somehow he liked women, you know. Not only he liked women, he's very impulsive. He says, "I want that girl, I want her right now, right now. Get her for me right now." Now, if you're impulsive, that's where you get into trouble. All right, we know the whole story, how he ended up in the arms of Delilah. And it was that lady, you know, who got the secret of his anointing, and they captured him, plucked out his eyes, blinded him, and made sport of him. And then they're going to have a thousand getting together to mock him. And now Samson, in his black backslidden stage, he prayed, "Dear Lord, just hear me one more time. Let me take revenge for the two eyes they plucked out from my eye socket. So guys, so that I can suck it to them." You know, in contemporary English, "Hear me one more time. Just give me your anointing, I pray, in Jesus' name." And then he asked the servant, "Lead me to the pillar that the stadium is leaning on." And he did. And then we know the story. The anointing of God came upon him. And God heard his prayer one more time. And he pulled down the entire stadium, so to speak. And the Bible says those who died that day was more than all he killed in his entire life. God is good. Judges 16:28. Then Samson said, pray to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me, O God, please strengthen me just one more time. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. In the New Testament, another classic example of God's servant who became unfaithful, but yet God was faithful. Matthew 26:33, Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Hallelujah. That's what he said. Matthew 26:25, but Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Matthew 26:73, after a little while, those that were standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you belong to that Jesus group. Peter says, I don't know what you are talking about. Three times, Peter said, I don't know him. He denied the Lord three times. And then we know the story. You remember what Jesus said? Jesus predicted that, you know, he would deny the Lord. And yet, after the Lord died and rose again from the dead, one of the first person he want to talk personally is Peter. He appeared to Peter and asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? God is faithful. Even when his servants are not faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will remain faithful. He says, I'll take care of you. Jesus said, Luke 12 verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. He says, if I can take care of the birds of the air, I can take care of you. I think I've shared with you over the years, sometimes, and I have tremendous burden, even in the ministry. Having moved here, you know, some of my friends cut off support. You know why? He says, Australia is a rich country. Brother Lau don't need any more support. Let's cut him off. I said, that's okay. I mean, you are in a power seat. You decide. That's the way it is. God bless you. Little did they realize, although Australia may be a rich country, it's a tough, tough place to raise support, especially for missions work. Because most churches are already closed. Big mega churches, you try to penetrate and go in and say, please help. You know what I say? Sorry, we have our own missions emphasis. You're doing a nice job, but you know, at the end of the day, we have our own missions. God bless you. Have a nice day. You cannot survive on the phrase, God bless you and have a nice day. One time I was so, so burdened. At the time I was staying in a CBD, renting a place, you know, 2-bedroom with my wife and 2 daughters. I went to Carlton Garden to jog. Cut support. All right, praise the Lord. Cut support. I'm thinking, where am I going to find how am I going to meet all my needs? When you have 2 children in Melbourne Uni, the bills come at the same time. You know, they don't come at different time. The same time. You want to cry. My heart was so heavy. And I sat down after jogging. At the time, I think the flowers were blooming. I look at the golden flowers. I look at the yellow flowers. And the Lord reminded me, Solomon, in all his splendor, was not clothed like these flowers. If I can clothe the flowers, I'll take care of you. And then I sat down. I look at the sparrow. 4 or 5 of them jumping up and down, eating on a piece of bread. And then the Lord spoke to me. If I can take care of the sparrow, I'll take care of you and your family. That was years ago. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is faithful. Hallelujah. But the next thing is, brothers and sisters, although the Lord is faithful, we who hear the call to follow Jesus, We must be committed. We must be faithful unto him. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, Paul says, now it is required. Not maybe or up to you. It is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. We must prove ourselves faithful. He has proven himself faithful. Now it's our turn to prove ourselves faithful unto him. Concerning Timothy, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:17, for this reason, I'm sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. He says, you know, I'm sending Timothy to you, my son whom I love very dear. He says, Timothy is very faithful in the Lord. Can we be like him? You know, it's nice to come to church and get fired up. It's very nice to go to mega conferences, you know, Hillsong Conference or whatever conference. God bless you, Hillsong Conference. If you want to go, go. By all means, God bless you. Go and attend and be fed spiritually and get charged up. It's wonderful to get charged up in meetings. It's quite another thing to remain charged up 5 months later, 6 months later, 1 year later, 5 years later, 10 years later. 20 years later, 30 years later. Hallelujah. I've seen people charge up in Christian seminars, jumping up and down. Today, they are nowhere near the church. Some of them have backslidden, turned their backs on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nice to get charged up emotionally, but more than being fired up in our emotions, we must make that commitment. Hallelujah. That we will be faithful unto the Lord. 30, 40 years ago, we all learned that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, yet still I will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. I still remember that song 40, 50 years ago. I can say thanks be unto God by his grace. 10, 20, 30, 40 years have come and gone. He has given me the strength to serve him faithfully. Although there are times I cry and I cry and I cry. Why would Christians do this kind of things to me? I remember one brother. I did not see him for 35 years from the hometown of Johor Bahru Presbyterian Church where I got saved. Subsequently, after I got saved, I felt the call to go into full-time ministry. He then was a young man, and he too, years later, decided to serve the Lord. Cut the long story short, he went to Bible college, I think took about 2-3 years theological degree. And became a pastor. That's the beginning of the tough journey. It was tough. I think in those days, 40 years ago, the pastor's salary was maybe $100. You know, if you are blessed by a generous church, $100 per month, not per week, per month. Per month. So cut the long story short, he says, it's very tough, you know. He wrote to the committee, can you just please increase my support? I think maybe he was asking for $10, 10 Aussie dollars. He's not asking too much. They debated about it, you know, whole meeting after meeting, just for $10. So cut the long story short, he says, the reply to him was, it's not our policy to increase support. Just live by faith and trust the Lord. That was what he got. That pierced his heart right through like a sharp arrow. From that day on, he got so angry, so bitter. He left the church. He left the ministry. I heard about it, but I did not see him for 35 years until last year. I was in that same town to preach. He heard I was in town and I was preaching. He wanted to meet me. I said, good, I want to meet you too. So he says, let's go for coffee. We went for coffee. And I'm the kind of person, I don't, small talk, how are you, God bless you, how's the weather? These are all small talk, you know. I want to get right to the point, right? Just tell me why you left the ministry, why you left the church. As we sip our coffee, he told me this story. I was only asking for $10, and that's how they humiliated me. I says, forget about ministry, forget about pastoring the church, forget about serving God. I'm going into the world and make money. That's what he did. He told me within a few years, I made my first million. Hallelujah. I'm not going to say hallelujah, but he says, I made my first million within a few years. He was telling, in essence, he's saying, forget about your $10. I have my $1 million now. This was in the 80s. When you have your first million, you are somebody. What was he? What business was he in? He was in breeding expensive fish. Koi fish. Some of them, one fish alone is worth $30,000. Some of his are priced to be, I think, $100,000. He had a whole pool of them. That's how successful he was. One day, there was power cut, he told me. There was power cut. When there's no power, what happened? The power runs the motor. When there's no motor, there's no oxygen. No oxygen, all the $100,000 fish, bloop, 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 upside down. Within 2 hours, his $1 million just fizzled out. By then, he stopped church for years. He says, never mind. I will work hard again. I'll get my next million. He told me, that's what I did. And he got his second million. And that was around mid-80s or early 90s. Then come ASEAN economic crisis that, you know, busted the economy. He lost his second million. He says, never mind. I'll work hard. I'll get my third million, which is what he did. He got his third million and then got into trouble again. The third million fizzled out. By that time, he told me, it looks like the Lord is speaking to me. He fell on his knees. His sister, he told me, he confesses sin. He says, oh Lord, please forgive me. I've strayed away from you for so many years. I'm coming home, Lord. Please forgive me. He went back to church. Hallelujah. When he told me that, I said, I'm happy for you. You strayed away for so long. Now you come back to the Lord. That's wonderful. Whether you go back to ministry, being a pastor, I don't care. It's between you and God. He's now running, a pet shop. You know, he's doing it good. He's doing good. He's bringing his children to church. His wife, not yet. So one by one, he's coming back to the house of God. I'm just telling you this testimony, real life testimony. It can be hard. Ministry can be tough. Following Jesus can be tough. You know, to get excited to say I want to follow Jesus is wonderful. What if you go through tough times? What if they ask for $10? They say it's not our policy to give you $10. What if you feel humiliated like our this dear brother did? He got so hurt, so bitter, so angry. Stop going to church for decades until recently. Come back to the Lord. Hallelujah. We who hear the call, we must prove ourselves to be faithful. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will be richly blessed. Hallelujah. But one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. If you are faithful, the Bible promises you and I that you and I will be richly blessed. Hallelujah. I may not be a multimillionaire in Melbourne, but I'm richly blessed. Hallelujah. I have enough to eat, enough to wear, more than enough shoes to last me for a lifetime. I'm greatly blessed. I'm happy. I'm contented. I live in a small place. 2 bedrooms is good enough. If you have 5 bedrooms, God bless you. I'm happy for you. I have a car to use. 12, 15-year-old car, I don't care. It has four wheels to take me from point A to point B. I'm happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Most importantly, I'm able to do God's will, to fulfill God's purpose in my generation. I'm able to go to poor countries that, you know, some pastors don't want to go. I will go. Hallelujah. I'll touch them and encourage them and build them up in the Lord, and they can continue to pioneer churches all over Asia. For that, I'm grateful. I'm greatly, greatly blessed. I'm blessed, amen, to rejoice to see my granddaughter. I showed her my mission trip to India. Grandpa eating rice on banana leaf. No fork and spoon. I use my hand to eat. Grandpa, so pitiful. I give you my plastic plate, my plastic spoon, my toy spoon. Next time you go India, you take it with you. Don't eat with your hands. Psalms 101 verse 6, my eyes will be on the faithful. There are many of you that have walked with the Lord very faithfully, Pastor Kelly and, you know, Nathan and so forth, and many of us. You've been so faithful in your walk with the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on you. Hallelujah. My eyes are on the faithful in the land, and they will dwell with me. He whose walk is blameless will minister to me. Let me just summarize and conclude this sermon. What are some helpful keys, you know, that we may be, remain committed and faithful? You know, there are things that we need to do. Firstly, we got to be open to learn. Amen. Never think you've got it all just because you attended one seminar or get one theological degree. You know, we must always be open to learn. Philippians 3 verse 12, Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this or been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Hallelujah. Paul says, I'm not perfect. The great man of God that planted so many churches, whose handkerchief, when taken to the sick were healed and demon possessed were set free. Such a great man of God, he says, I'm not perfect yet. I'm still pressing on. So open to learn. We too must be open to learn. And I preach a lot, but I also want people to preach to me. So I take effort to read books. I take effort to listen to sermons. So we must always be open to learn. Hallelujah. The next thing is we got to keep the focus. It's very easy to get distracted in our Christian life and our Christian journey. That's why Hebrews tell us, chapter 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews say, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. None else. Not on your pastor, not on your circumstances, not on your job, not on your best friends, not on your spouse, not on anyone. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our favor, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix your eyes on how unfair people have treated you. You'll get discouraged. Fix your eyes on how terrible that the leader in the church, how terrible they can say that thing about you or do that thing to you. You'll get disappointed. Fix your eyes on a position that you want so much and they don't give it to you, you get disappointed. Can that happen? It can happen. I've known it happened to pastors. They get so upset. They wanted the senior pastor position. They give it to someone else. They get so angry. Backslide. Walk away from church. I don't serve anymore. Fix your eyes on Jesus, not on that position. By now, it would have been public news that a senior pastor of City Harvest Church in Singapore is now entered Changi Prison for a sentence of 3.5 years. Not, the case is not closed yet. Prosecution is going to fight in August and upping it to 8 years or even more. This pastor and a team of 5, all right, committed what they call criminal breach of trust of 50 million Singapore dollars. He's now in a prison for about 3.5 years, if not more, by August. I pity him. I pity his associate pastor. I pity the accounts manager. Some of them have children. It's one thing when you fly business class or first class to be greeted. It's quite another thing when you enter Changi prison. You're just a number on a cold cement. It's a big change, I tell you. I pray for him. I pity church members. At the peak, they have 30,000 people. After the trial, after the news of the mishandling of money, I think maybe 10,000 left. Some of them left bitter, angry. I can read them on social media. Some of them have left churches and never to step into a church again. That's pitiful. Thank God for those who left the church and then joined another church. At least they're still going to church. Some of them become so cynical of church and pastors. Why? They have set their eyes on senior pastor. We must never set our eyes on any man. If we do, this will be the result. So fix our eyes on the Lord. Thirdly, keep your spiritual disciplines. Meditate on the word of God. Again and again, I say unto you, Psalms 119 verse 15, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways, O Lord. Psalm 119 verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all that is written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. This my practice. This has been my practice over the decades. I discipline myself to meditate on the word. Sometimes I wake up 4 o'clock, sometimes 5 o'clock. At this age, hitting 60, your whole body system changes, Sometimes, ping, 4 o'clock, hey, good morning. No, I want to sleep some more. But somehow I'm awake. So, okay, all right, 4 o'clock, I'll make my breakfast. By about 4:30, sometimes 5 o'clock, I finish my breakfast. I'm sitting there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I open my Bible and begin to read the word of God, meditate the word of God, pray the word of God, and begin praying for now what needs to be prayed for. By about 6 a.m., I'm ready to charge up for the day, hallelujah. You may not wake up at 4 o'clock, that's okay. You may wake up at 8 o'clock. It's your body cycle, I'm at this stage, I wake up early. Whatever it is, discipline yourself to meditate on the word that will keep you walking and walking and walking until you see Jesus. Hallelujah. Of course, the discipline of prayer. Hallelujah. Mark 1:35 is a powerful scripture. Mark 1:35. Early in the morning, while it's still dark, Jesus got up from his bed and went to a quiet place where he prayed. That's a good challenge during winter time. Early in the morning, I will look at the window. It's still dark outside, but my bed is so warm. It's so tempting. You want me to lie down and sleep more and more? I said, no. If Jesus can wake up early in the morning, get up from his bed, I can get up from my bed. If he can go to a quiet place, I can go to a quiet place. If he can pray early in the morning, I can pray early in the morning. Hallelujah. If Jesus can do that, you can do that. If I can do that, you too can do that, because I love to sleep too. And of course, the discipline of worship. The Lord is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23. Yeah. And of course, fourthly, recognize the dangers along the way. If you and I are to last long in our walk with the Lord, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we got to recognize the danger that is ahead of us. The Bible tells us. He says, Proverbs 22, verse 3, a wise man, a prudent man, sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Proverbs 22, verse 3. A wise man looks at danger, he will take refuge, but a fool will keep on going and suffer for it. If you and I are to last long in our walk with the Lord, to be committed unto him who is faithful unto us, we must recognize the dangers ahead and be very careful in the way we live our lives. Not too long ago, my wife and I had dinner with our former church member from Kuala Lumpur, who is already residing here for many years. He's a bank manager in one of the major banks. And we were having dinner. And then my friend, he told me, every year, as top managers, we have the privilege to take our secretaries out for dinner, secretary week. He says, in all my years of working in Melbourne as a manager, I never once go out with my female secretary alone. What do? I call up my other branch manager and says, hey, next week is secretary week. I bring my secretary. You bring your secretary. We both go for dinner. When he said that, I'm thinking to myself, I later commented to my wife, here lies a wise man who sees the danger and he avoided it. How many managers went out with their secretaries and then after dinner end up in a hotel? You tell me. Even in missions work, you got to be very, very careful. I don't want to minister to women alone. If ever I do, it's with my wife or someone else. I was preaching in a mission field, my wife and I, in Ho Chi Minh City, not too long ago. We taught the word of God and the anointing of the Spirit of God moved in the hearts of these leaders. We gave an altar call. They came out. Good number of them lined up. And one lady, she was in, I reckon she must be late 40s. She was there crying. I went close to her. I says, why are you crying? How can I pray for you? She says, Pastor, I'm here to confess my sin. The Lord has spoken to me by the teaching of the word. I says, what do you want to confess? Let me pray with you. She says, I committed adultery. I said, are you married? She says, I'm single. I'm a widow. I committed adultery. She was just telling me, a Malaysian pastor came out for a mission trip in Ho Chi Minh City, doing ministry and seduced me, and we have sex together. I was so tempted to ask her, what is the name of this Malaysian pastor? You tell me, I know. I've served in Malaysia for 20 old years. You just tell me the name, I'll rip him off. I was very tempted. And I thought to myself, mind your own business. I didn't want to ask. She was crying. Let me pray for you. I said, from now on, repent and don't do it again. Even pastors, leaders going to the mission field, do missions work. This kind of things can happen. We have to be very careful. And of course, keep in good fellowship. Who are your friends? The friends that you mix with will sort of determine your destination. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. Iron sharpens iron. One man sharpens another. You stick with someone who is spiritual, you become spiritual. You hang around someone who is carnal and fleshy, you become carnal and fleshy like them. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be misled. Bad company ruins good character. Don't be misled, Paul says. Bad company ruins good character. We have a relative, you know, they're having marital problems. And after some time, we heard she divorced the husband. This is what we found out. In the turmoil of the marital stress and so forth, she's been meeting with her friends, you know, having high tea, having, you know, cupcakes. Who were these friends? All divorces. All right? They're telling her, oh, I divorced my husband. We are so happy and I'm so free. You know, I can do what I want to do. I can shop. I don't have to ask him for money. I can live my own life. Oh, what a wonderful life. Meeting week in, week out, week in, week out, month in, month out. You're hearing all this and you're going through marital problems. What is the conclusion? Divorce is wonderful. Divorce is liberating. That's what she hears. But they don't tell her. I don't think her friends will tell her. In the stillness of the night, how they cry their eyes out because of the disjointed family. How their hearts were broken when the children have to struggle between mama and dada. They only tell you the good part of how nice it is to divorce the husband and live their own lives. But they don't tell you the misery and the sorrow. Subsequently, she divorced her husband. Bad company ruins good character. I hope this message encouraged you. His faithfulness, our commitment. The Lord is faithful. He who calls you is faithful. He'll be faithful to you until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, we who hear the call, we must prove ourselves to be faithful to do that. Be open to learn. Keep the focus on Jesus. Keep your spiritual disciplines. Recognize the danger and keep in good fellowship. And I tell you, you'll be in good company. The Lord bless you. Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.